Good morning, everybody. We're going to look in Philippians chapter 2, seeing stars through the prison bars. And are you ready to look into the Word of God today?
Yes.
Today, let's open our Bibles or turn your devices to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And today, we're going to talk about the name that is above every name. Now, there are no blanks in your outline, and you're welcome to fill them in if you want to, but I'm much more interested in the outcome, in the outline of this message. You know, through the years, I've preached different kinds of messages, sometimes kind of practical, sometimes doctrinal, sometimes corrective, but this is just a pure devotional message today. And I just want us to love on Jesus. And I want us to celebrate Jesus because God has given him a name above every other name. And you're welcome to stand with me as I read these words. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And your attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ. You got to have the very nature of God. Verse 8, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Verse 9, therefore God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. They're going to do that in hell. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the God the Father. Let's pray. Father, our only desire today is that Jesus will be seen, will be heard, and will be exalted in our midst today. And we pray this in the name of above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to talk about the name of Jesus. And I want to give you four simple things about the name of Jesus. Number one, Jesus is a simple name. I'm so glad that God gave Jesus such a simple name. Now, I disagree with William Shakespeare, who said that names aren't really important. He said a rose by any other name is just as sweet. But I think names are important because they do carry character. And you know, when my first son was born in Tyler, Texas, I named him three presidents. Reagan was his first name. Andrew is his second name. Andrew Johnson, Andrew Jackson. And Rutherford, there was a president named Rutherford B. Hayes. So I named him three presidents. And he just goes by Drew. And so when my second son was born, my wife said, "You're not naming him, I'm naming him." I was lost. When parents are about to have children, they struggle and they read books and they go online and they look up names for their children. But you know, Mary and Joseph didn't have to do that. Because according to Matthew 1:21, when the angel Gabriel came to Matthew and said to Joseph, they said that Mary is going to give birth to a child and you're going to name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from all their sins. You know, names are important. I heard about a man who wanted to change his name because his name was William Stinks. And he went to the judge, and the judge said, I understand that you want to change your name because you have a name like William Stinks. What do you want to change it to? And he said, I want to change it to John Stinks. Just think about the names Jesus could have been given. They're pretty heavy Bible names. When you agree, some hard names. In Isaiah chapter 8, God told Isaiah to name one of his sons Maher-Shalal-Hash-Baz. I'm so glad we don't have to pray for Maher-Shalal-Hash-Baz. I love that Gloria Gaither song, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. It would be tough to sing Maher-Shalal-Hash-Baz, Maher-Shalal-Hash-Baz, Maher-Shalal-Hash-Baz. There's just something about that name. I'm so glad that Jesus in Hebrew, in three syllables, Yahshua, it's a very common word, Joshua, it means God saves. And I think the name of Jesus is a beautiful name, and I love to hear the people say the name of Jesus. Let's just say it together right now. Would you do it? Just say Jesus.
Jesus.
Let's say it again louder.
Jesus.
All right. That's great. The name of Jesus sounds beautiful when a three-year-old is singing, Jesus loves me. The name of Jesus sounds elegant when it comes from the lips of a 92-year-old woman. She's on her deathbed, and I'm so glad that God gave his son, our Savior, such a simple name. Number two, it's a simple name, but Jesus is a strong name. Jesus is a strong name. The devil hates the name of Jesus for all other names. The devil hates the name of Jesus. And I want you to think with me for a moment. Have you ever heard somebody that took a hammer and hit their finger? And they don't say, oh, Buddha. They don't say, oh, Muhammad. They don't say, oh, Moses. We all know that there are people in this world that use the name of our Savior as profanity. And they are violating the third commandment every time they do it. And I hate every time when I hear someone use the name of Jesus Christ in a way other than God intended it. But there's a reason for that. What is the reason? It's because of the devil. So he hates and fears the name of Jesus that he tempts people to use it in times of anger. And there's a reason that they're not saying, oh, Buddha or oh, Muhammad, because the devil wants to try to shame the name of Jesus as much as he can. You know, I love to play golf. And several years ago, I was playing with a man, and he didn't know that I was a preacher. And he missed a 3-foot putt, and he threw his putter down, and he said, Jesus Christ. Instead of preaching to him, I said, where? Where? I knew he's coming back. Where is he? And he kind of took that hint after that. So why does the devil hate the name of Jesus? James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, because as I said, Jesus shamed the devil at the cross. And if you look at this scripture, Colossians 2:15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And I like what Eugene Peterson paraphrases this. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority, of their cross, and marched them naked through the streets. So just realize that anytime you hear someone use the name of Jesus as profanity, there's a reason for it. And it's because it is such a powerful, strong name, and the devil hates it. In fact, the Bible says the name of Jesus is so strong, we can use it against the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't resist him in your own name. Don't resist him in the name of Christianity. Resist the devil in the name of Jesus. And the devil will say, uh-oh, I'm out of here. The name of Jesus is a strong name. Proverbs 18:10 says this, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Number three, Jesus is a saving name. Not only is it a simple name, a strong name, it is a saving name. You know, everybody in this room needs to answer two important questions. Question number one, how can I live a full and meaningful life? Question number two, how can I spend eternity in heaven after I die? Two important questions. And the answer to both of those questions is one word, Jesus. Jesus is the answer to both of those questions. Andre Crouch wrote a chorus years ago, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other, for Jesus is the way. And I want to tell you, it's not the man upstairs who's going to save you. It's Jesus. It's not the good Lord, although he is good and good all the time. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who is the only one who can save you and take you to heaven. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So if you ever stand before God, and he says, why should I let you into heaven? Your answer is much better when you have the word Jesus in it, because I have trusted Jesus, because I'm trusting in his grace, and I'm trusting in his mercy of Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus. He's the only name by which you can be saved. It is a simple name. It is a strong name. It is a saving name. And number four, Jesus is the supreme name. It is the supreme name. And the Bible says God gave Jesus the name that is above every other name. You know, throughout history, there have been people that are called great. Catherine the Great, Herod the Great, Alexander the Great. But none of those people were great because they all had flaws and they had bad characters. And only person who walked on this planet Earth who is truly great is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In fact, the Bible says that he is great. Titus 2:13, we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when you find great people throughout history, you can always find someone who can put someone beside them who's just about as great, who's just about as good. Demosthenes was a great classical orator. So was Cicero, and they put him beside them. Raphael was a great painter. So was Michelangelo. So was Leonardo da Vinci. Mona was a great impressionist. So was Renoir and Van Gogh. You have to put them right beside there because nobody stands alone. There's always somebody who's just about as good, who's just about as great. Beethoven was a great composer. So was Mendelssohn. So was Handel. You know, Michael Jordan was a great, great athlete. So was Kobe Bryant. No one stands alone except one. The only one that stands alone in greatness is Jesus. There's no one that you can put beside Jesus and say, he is like Jesus. There's a great preacher, R.G. Lee, who's passed many years ago. And he said this about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus occupies a singular place of supremacy. Above all the names in the universe, God has given him a name above every other name. If you piled up all the notable names of Earth's finest people until you had a mountain of human greatness higher than Everest, the greatness and the glory of the name of Jesus would have to descend million miles downward to touch the top of this anthill we call human greatness. And I say amen to that. You know, let's just say Jesus is everything. Revelation 1:8 says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. It's like Jesus is saying, I am the A and the Z, and I'm everything in between. We all know our ABCs. We learned it early in life. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. And sometimes... sometimes we know it frontwards and backwards, but I only know it frontwards. We just think about these 26 letters that have made up all the words, made up all the sentences, made up all the pages, made up all the books, made up all the libraries that make up all the cultures of this world. Just 26 letters. And that's what Jesus is. He's the A and the Z, and he's everything in between. Think about it. Jesus is the Alpha. He's the Amen. He's the Almighty. He's the Anointed One. He's the Adonai. Jesus is the Ancient of Days. He is the Babe of Bethlehem. He's the Bridegroom. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the Bread of Life. Jesus is the Balm of Gilead. He's the Christ, he's the Creator, he's the Crucified One, he's the Coming Lord. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, he's the Light of all nations. He's our Deliverer, Jesus is the doorway to heaven. Jesus is Emmanuel, he is the El Shaddai, he is the Eternal One. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the foundation of the church. He's our forerunner. Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. He's good. He's God. He's our guide. He's a good shepherd. He's the great physician. He's our hope and healer. He's the husband of the church. He's the head of the church. Jesus is the Holy One from Israel. He is the great I am. He is the infinite, the immortal, invisible. He is our inheritance. He is Jesus. He's our joy, he's our judge, he's our justifier. Jesus Christ is Jesus above any other name in the world. He's the King, he's the King of Kings, he's the King of Glory. He's the keeper of the keys of death and hell. He's the Lamb, he's the Light, he's life, he's love, he's the Lawgiver. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Master, he's the Mediator, he's the Messiah. Jesus is the man of sorrows. He's the Nazarene. He's the new line. He's the new covenant. He is the name that is above every other name. He is the Omega. He is the omnipotent one. He's the only begotten of the Father. He is the offering for sin. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the preacher. He's the prophet. Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price. He's the quieter of the storms in our lives. He's the quick and powerful Word of God. He's the Redeemer. He's the Restorer. He's our refuge. He's the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the one who redeemed all of mankind. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Sustainer. He's the one who sends us all to heaven. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's the teacher. He's the truth. He's our tabernacle. Jesus Christ is the unblemished Lamb of God. He's the unction of our spirit. He's the true vine. He's the vicarious sacrifice. He's the victor over death and the grave. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the word. He's the witness. His name is wonderful. Jesus Christ is expected the Messiah of the Old Testament and the exalted Lord in the New Testament. He is yesterday, today, and forever. And the same, and hallelujah, the Zion Holy Prince. A to Z, Jesus is everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the supreme in his position. It is also supreme in his profession, because the Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the glory of God the Father. What does that mean? It means one day that Hitler will say, Jesus is Lord. And it will say that Satan will say, Jesus is Lord. And the worst person ever who lived and died will say, Jesus is Lord. But you know, there's a difference between saying Jesus is Lord and saying Jesus is my Lord. Because many of us here today, we say Jesus is my Lord, and we want to enjoy it while we're alive. Those who die without making Jesus their Lord, they won't be saying it in joy. It'll be a statement of judgment. Jesus is my boss. He's my Lord. He's the one that's going to judge me. And the Bible says one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And if you haven't done that yet, my invitation to you, my challenge to you, is to make Jesus your Lord. You know, Jesus is not only A to Z, but everywhere in this book, you look, you find Jesus. He is the theme of every book in the Bible. We find Jesus in every book in the Bible. And I'm going to go through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm going to do it quick. In Genesis, Jesus was the ram at Abraham's altar. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the city of our refuge. In Joshua, he's the scarlet thread out of Rahab's window. In Judges, he's our judge. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's the trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of everything that is broken. In Esther, he's the Mordecai sitting faithful at the gate. In Job, he's the one we will see in the resurrection who will live forever. In Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our listener. And in the Song of Solomon, he's the beautiful bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the suffering servant. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, it is Jesus who is the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the midst of the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's my love, who is forever faithful. In Joel, he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's our savior. In Jonah, he's the great foreign missionary that takes the word of God into all the world. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's our avenger. In Habakkuk, he's the watchman who's ever praying for revival. In Zephaniah, he's the Lord, mighty to save. In Haggai, he is the restorer of our lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's our fountain. In Malachi, he's the son of the righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. In Matthew, you are the Christ, the son of the living God. In Mark, he's the miracle worker. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the door through which every one of us must enter. In Acts, he's the shining light that appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. In Romans, he's our justifier. In 1 Corinthians, he's our resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, he's our sin bearer. In Galatians, he redeems us from the law. In Ephesians, he is our unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he supplies our every need. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's our soon coming king. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's our blessed hope. In Philemon, he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, it is the Lord who heals the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In 1 and 2 3 John, it is Jesus who has the tenderness of love. And in Jude, he is the Lord coming with 10,000 saints. In Revelation, lift up your eyes, church, for the redemption draws nigh. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is no other name. We will never get over the wonder and the matchless power and the majesty in the name of Jesus. And I just want to thank you for letting us lift up Jesus today. Jesus will become real in someone's life, more than real than anybody's life. And if someone needs to make a decision, you gotta have strength to do that. We're gonna stand, we're gonna sing.